Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know, it's funny. One thing really upset me on Sunday when I was watching the match with Tom Brady. And that's when he popped off and, you know, the comment about the Falcons. I'm not afraid of red and black. And he was talking about the Eagles. And
I cringe at the sight of green and black.
You know, that rubbed me the wrong way. And I think it bothered Falcon fans. But, you know, like I said to somebody on Twitter, because they were like, man, I can't stand this dude. He's not even that good at golf. I said, yeah, but he still goes on to Giselle. So he wins. Okay. he's got six rings.
Yeah. He also had a shot.
Supermodel, you know, for a wife.
Right, he had a shot that you'd be talking about for the rest of your natural born life. Right?
Yeah,
let's be honest. So
on TV, there were witnesses. You know, it's not one of those things.
It took them a minute to get started. I thought that, as we said earlier, to your point, everybody except for Tiger, there were some jitters because Phil wasn't exactly the gold standard off the tee to start the match himself. But yeah, it just Brady. He just struck you as a bit of the guy that. And Peyton was the guy, as I said, at the end of the day, people were asking on social media, who's the guy for all that you want to have a beer with? It's got to be Peyton. Peyton is the most normal, the most well-adjusted. That's why he's been so effective as a pitch man and why guys like you and me are like, please, go save Monday Night Football. Make that broadcast interesting to listen to.
Yeah, I'd love to see him on there. I mean, it's not going to happen anytime soon. But, you know, and here's the other part. I mean, some guys want to do this. You know, the Romo thing, he wanted to do it. Jason Witten wanted to do it. You know, Booger, all these guys we've talked about. That step into that arena, Peyton Dunn, it's not where his heart's at, Mike. So, you know,
right.
he doesn't want to do it. So I don't know, you know, if it'd be as good as we might even think it is because it's not what he wants to do. And obviously money's not an objective, right? I mean, object. He's turning down, what did he turn out, 20 million? Was it, or 15 million?
Well, the reports were out there, it was going to be right around what Romo was getting, if not, you know, a little bit less. But either way, there was a major investment that ESPN was prepared to make. Because they get it. I think they've realized they're going to overhaul the show. Whoever's going to be on it, they've got new producers, and it's gotten just to the point where it's no more compelling than a Thursday night than a whack game. You know, the way it's broadcast. So we'll see where they go with it. I just think, you know, Peyton is just, like I said, just a cool dude. You know, I mean, like I said, he's been there, done that. He's got, you know, he's confident, laid back. And it was fun to watch. And Tiger, as I said, the one guy we didn't really get to hear much from other than a few really sharp zings was Tiger. You know, I mean, it was funny. How about Phil's buzzwords, though? It feels like, that would have been pretty tasty. Got a kick out of that. And I like, and by the way, I like Phil, too. I mean, I saw those all those packages you could bid on. I mean, I think who out there would not have fun playing either 18 with Tiger or Phil? Probably have more fun with Phil.
I think so, too. Speaking of Phil, hey, Jaihi, let's play one Phil before we get to a blitz. This is Phil talking about his putter. Listen to this if you missed it.
I have to pick those few moments that were far between where I was able to beat Tiger, and 2012 AT&T was one of those, and I had this old blade with a white hot XG insert from Odyssey that I putted phenomenal with, shot 64 to his 75, won the tournament. That putter has been known throughout the golf circles as the Tiger Slayer, and so I brought that out for this particular event.
The Tiger Slayer.
Phil is just so over the top, as we said. I mean, now Tiger would give, like, for instance, Peyton would go, hey, Tiger, give me a read on this. And Tiger goes, hey, Tiger would just look at him and go, right here. Half a cup, right here. You know what I mean? See the palm tree behind me? Right here. Then Phil would go, okay, as you can see, the grain is going this way. Obviously, the darker patch, and again, you're going to hit it here, you're going to bump. Not sure how it's going to skid, but we want to end it right here. It's going to funnel right through. So literally, for every word the Tiger, you got 10 for Phil on how to take the shot.
It's true. I mean, he did kind of overdo it. But you know what? You got to fill time, so I guess it was fine. Hey, man, more on the match coming up. Also, you're going to get a chance to hear from Greg McGarrity, the athletic director at the University of Georgia, came on our morning show this morning talking about where the dogs are, sports returning, and what's the plan. So you're going to get a chance to hear that in about 15 minutes. Stay right there. Right now, let's get to an NFL blitz!
Welcome to the NFL.
With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on on Dukes and Bell.
NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. I want you to hear Troy Vincent. He is the president of football operations. Mike and I said this when they made the rule. I don't know if we've been as mad about something on this show, maybe a few other times, when the Saints fans cried and you had people wanting to take people to court about the pass interference rule. This is the president of football operations, Troy Vincent, saying that, you know what, it was a fail. The NFL failed with this pass interference replay review. Now, the owners will vote for a sky judge. That's going to happen on Thursday. I think that's a good deal. Mike, the kooky thing you talked about on Friday, which was what, the replacement of the onside kick?
Yeah, that was one that the Eagles proposed, the idea that you'd have the opportunity to take the ball at your own 25, but it's a 4th and 15. You've got one shot to make 15 yards to sustain a drive.
So that's going to be talked about. But here's Troy Vincent talking about the different scenarios for the NFL as we look towards the season.
We also know that we have to plan for half stadiums, three quarters. So we're planning for all of these different scenarios. But first and foremost, we're making every effort, working with the medical community. If we can have those stadiums with all people, unless they tell us otherwise, when that time comes, that's our plan. That's our plan of action.
Yeah, Carl, Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated talking to Brian McCarthy, who's the VP of Communications for the league. So just to kind of dovetail with what Troy Vincent said, quote, we're not putting dates on a potential return. Since we have been and will continue working hand-in-hand with the Players Association. Again, just to say, same thing, medical advice, compliance with local and state guidelines. So, I mean, that's why if you wanted to, you know, say, hey, I need an answer right now, especially after what Stephen Ross said, we will play football. I'm going to guess no fans to maybe a third capacity. And it might vary from state to state. There might be some stadiums where you can have people in there, Carl, but I don't think they get this thing kicked off till after, way until September, maybe October.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. Troy Vincent also talking about, are we going to have full stadiums to start the season? This is what he says.
We are planning to have full stadiums until the medical community tells us otherwise. Now, remember when we're talking. Now, we're talking September, August, September. So there's a lot that can happen here. We're planning for full stadiums.
Okay. I mean, I understand that. You know, there are other pressing issues. For example, I think college football, which, you know, you'll hear from Greg McGarrity coming up in just a few, has to make a decision here. Like we said, Mike, next 4 or 5 weeks, the college football has to know where they're going. The NFL... on whether or not we're going to be there. You plan, and then he's right. We get to September, you know, there's nothing more than we'd all like for this thing to have calmed down enough that we feel comfortable about going back to stadiums. But even if that's not the case, we still may be in stadiums, Mike, with a mask on.
And that's the other thing. I mean, you know, we talked about how has this all gone out, right? We've learned in the past couple of days from the CDC. We were, you know, again, you still want to wash things down. I know people like me and you are germ phobes, right? We're germ freaks. Yeah. So we've learned that, you know, it's not as, maybe yeah, there's always risks, but you're not as worried about surface areas as we were, right? And it was flatten the curve. And then flatten the curve is kind of given way to, you know, now it's all masks, you know, and we understand that we may see some spikes. We saw some good numbers in New York, according to the governor up there. But, I mean, yeah. Dude, if I got to wear a mask to go to the game, done. I'm in. Let me rock and roll. And, again, dude, I have to wear a mask to go to my lobby because I get shamed by the people I live with in my building right now. Mm. So it's all relative. You know what I mean? I'll wear the mask, and I think a lot of Americans will do the same.
I think so, too.
Because they're already doing it in so many places.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, and if we're at that point still, I mean, I'm not going to say we're going to be used to it, but I do think if you told me we could go to games versus not going, Mike, I'm probably going to go and have to deal with that. It is our NFL Blitz segment brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Center. Let's talk a little bit more about Devontae Freeman, 28-year-old running back, played with our Falcons. Here's the deal for Free. We've got nothing but love for Free. Free almost helped us win a Super Bowl, guys. He was great during his time here. It's unfortunate the concussions may have cost him some time. But here's the other part of this. When you're out there tweeting on Memorial Day after hearing reports that you might retire, and here was the quote, here was the tweet. It got erased. I got 10 more years in me. Kill that fake retirement, blank. And by the way, F all y'all. Okay. So that was tweeted. And then obviously moments later, it was taken down. Now somebody obviously saw it, and they, you know, some people took screenshots. I don't know if anybody got it. I know I saw it when it popped up because I thought it was somebody playing around. And then I said, what happened? Because again, I was in chill mode, Mike. We were enjoying a cocktail or two. So right. I really wasn't paying attention. And then somebody said, Dukes, did you see this yesterday? And I said, I did. Here's the deal for me, Mike. Freeman, let it go. Go prove whatever it is you need to prove, wherever you're going to be, with your next shot in the NFL. Why are you responding and feeling so aggravated? And by the way, do you think Falcon fans are going in free? I think for the most part, most Falcon fans are appreciative for what he did. Look, I don't think anybody's mad at Freeman,
said,
are we?
You're right. No, we said it all last year going into the offseason. You know, Bo, our producer, talked about it. There was a way, and most likely. And by the way, we free up $10 million in June 1st in cap space with Trufant and other deals. But we kind of knew it. Look, we rolled the dice. We gave him the contract, and it just kind of blew up in our face. Whether you think, well, you want to blame the coaches, the O-line, freeze on inability to stay healthy. He just wasn't the same guy. But he earned that money, guys. 2,000-yard seasons and all the touchdowns. Go back and look at all the touchdowns on the ground in the air. There was nothing to sneeze at. So they then, of course, give him the money. We lobbied for it. And by the way, why did we lobby for it? Because right now he's out on his ass. Okay? You get the guaranteed money, and that's yours. And that's what you pocket. And that's why we said at the time, you got to get yours. That was your one chance as a mid-round draft pick, right? To get the big contract. And now he's going to have to go and bounce around teams. Carlos Hyde had no problem with taking $4 million. I think Free got some bad advice from whoever is in his ear. He should have taken the deal with Seattle.
I agree. They're a contender. They got a quarterback. It's not like he's going to a Buster Blank team. I mean, right. I don't think that's a bad place for Freeman. And you're probably not going to have to tote the rock as much as you might in other places. You're going to split time. It's one of those things you just think about it, unless you just were totally against going to Seattle.
Right.
But, you know, when you start saying things like, and this is how fan bases turn on you, because as much as, you know, Free's not a part of our organization. And, oh, by the way, I think we did the right thing. And we'll talk more about that in our Falcon report when it comes to guys like this and Vic Beasley and et cetera. This is how fan bases turn on you, Mike. Because we're for you, dude. We like you.
Right.
We cheer for you. We root for you. And now if you're not playing the Falcons, we're rooting for you. But when you start saying F all y'all, come on, man. That's a little bit over the top.
Right, and again, it all started. Let's be honest. Where do things start to go south as soon as Uncle Luke's wife? Everybody started talking about his contract.
Don't stop. Get it.
The week of the Super Bowl, and you and I were standing next to each other talking to Free at his media podium, and the guys from Barstool Sports were trying to goad Free into saying something. I don't know if you understood what they were trying to get him to do. He asked him the question seven ways about wanting more money. So it just started immediately, and the fans didn't like that here in Atlanta. And then, of course, he misses a block. Again, as we said, there's four or five different players that had some moments they'd want back from Super Bowl 51, coaching staff too. But, yeah, that just got it sideways, and then the injuries. So, look, bet on yourself. Go to Seattle, Carl, take a one-year deal, and who knows. But, again, by age 28 to 29, you're not getting multi-year deals. That's just not going to happen.
No, it's not. And, you know, here's the other part. Like, part of me wants to feel bad, like, for Free. Like, man, you know, like Cam. I feel bad for Cam. I think there's some shenanigans going on with Cam Newton, Mike. But I don't feel bad for Free. And the reason is because when we hear that you had a deal on the table and the marketplace is what it is, and you for some reason think that you're a $6 million back instead of a $4 million back,
right?
It's not going to happen. And then, you know, you go, well, man, is he going to work this? Is he going to get a job? I hope he does. I hope he doesn't price himself out of the marketplace, Mike.
And that's just it. I mean, and then you don't want to have a rep or something, okay? I mean, guys are coming up like, well, Cam's got a rep. No, I just think that Cam, no one trusts the health side of it. And there might be some other extenuating circumstances. If you've got a young developing quarterback, you might not want Cam to come in and overshadow it, right? I mean, why would you have Cam behind Tyrod Taylor when you picked up Herbert, if you're the Chargers, for instance? So some places it just makes no sense. I still think a guy like Belichick could make Cam work. Don't you?
I do.
I mean, there's got to be – how does that – now, how do you not find a way to make that happen?
Well, outside of money, but let's be honest, teams make crazy things happen all the time. If you want to sign a guy, you can find a way. I mean, if New England really wanted to sign him, I think they could find a way to release some guys, free up some money, you know, move some money around. I mean, there are ways. We've seen it happen. Hell, we gave Julio Jones, Mike, $90 million, okay? I mean, this whole notion like teams don't have the money – you can find a way, and that's kind of why I'm saying I think there's some shenanigans with this whole Cam Newton thing. I'm not, you know, saying I want Cam as our quarterback. Don't misread me. What I am telling you is he's capable, he's available, and there's something going on there. Because that's weird when you're seeing other buster quarterbacks who are not as healthy getting signed, and you go, wait a minute, what's the deal there? I don't understand it.
But, I mean, here's the thing. Like, if a Darnold – let's give you an example. Like, Flacco obviously is on his way out, right? And they got him for $1.5 million. And he can't even practice now because he had back surgery. And then people are going, well, why wouldn't you put him in New York? Well, what if Darnold comes out and they go 1-4 to start the season and Darnold stinks? Now you've created the controversy because you got a viable option with Cam. That's and true. I'm not saying, like, and I don't care if the Jets fall off the planet. I'm just telling you that could be the one of the thought processes out there.
All right, one last thing. Mike Tomlin addressing the Rooney Rule. He went on Coach Cal's podcast. It's called Coffee with Cal, Coach Calipari. And he said this about the Rooney Rule.
We've always taken it from the approach of punitive if you don't interview minority candidates or things of that nature. I just like the different approach in terms of spinning it 180 and talking about maybe incentivizing those that develop the talent and those that hire the talent.
So he likes the idea of these things being thrown around. I think every coach, black, white, yellow, green, does not like the idea of, Mike, what we didn't like, which was you'll get a better draft pick if you hire this guy. Nobody likes that idea.
No, it was tacky, for lack of a better word. It just rings hollow, you know, and you've got to find a way to do it on the grassroots level. And that's what the coach is doing, the kind of things that we talked about Bill Walsh doing, you know, and having more minorities involved. And, again, the NFL could do a workshop to get more coaches on the offensive side if that's what's going to take in 2020.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Greg McGarrity, AD at the University of Georgia. Stop by our morning show. What do you say about the return of football in Athens and more? You'll hear it next. Coming up, 4 o'clock, we will get a chance to talk with Governor Brian Kemp about how do we move forward in the world of sports in our state. But right now, we want you to hear from Greg McGarrity, the AD at the University of Georgia, who went on our morning show with John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. First thing the guys asked him, Hugh said, did you ever think there'd be a scenario where there would be no fans in the stands, Greg?
You know, we dealt with this a little bit at the SEC basketball tournament back in March. So we knew a little bit about the planning there, but not to the scale of what we're discussing now.
Yeah, you experienced that. Actually, let's start there if we can, Greg. Can you take me back to the decision and what it was like for you when you're at the tournament and you had to make these kind of immediate calls? Everything was, you know, happening at such warp speed at that point. What was it like to have to, you know, sort of just take apart a whole tournament?
Well, luckily, all the athletic directors and the presidents were together. So we were able to make some decisions very quickly. And once the Gobert of the NBA came down with the virus, boy, that just brought everything to a halt. So you're going from a moment to where you had a game tipping off at 12, that at 10 o'clock that morning, the tournament was canceled. So we just went to a quick stop. And I think it shocked everyone. But the more we learn, we made the right call, because you can only imagine what that would have been like. With a packed arena and Nashville, with the way the crowds were attending the tournament, it could have really been a bad scene there. But luckily, the action was stopped, and so here we are 2.5 months later, still in the same boat.
Greg McGarrity, the athletic director at the University of Georgia, joining John and Hugh. So June 8th, the date that the SEC has now, you have voted to let the fall athletes return. Walk me through a little bit about what this means from your perspective about when these athletes do return and what they're going to be able to do.
Well, the date signifies the date you can basically unlock the weight room and start your voluntary workouts. So between now and that lead-up time, there's going to be a lot of measures taking in place with our student athletes. Ron Corson, who does a tremendous job for us, is handling all of the medical operations for that. So there's a battery of things you have to check off the list in preparation for these young people to be associating with everyone when social distancing and small group workouts and things along those lines and hygiene. So it's a totally different environment. And we got to remember, these are all voluntary. So it's not like you've got any required workouts or things of that nature. So it's all totally voluntary during this time until preseason practice starts. So everybody just needs to remember these are all voluntary workouts.
Sports Radio 92.9 again. We're talking to Athletic Director UGA, Athletic Director Greg McGarrity on the WaveFor.com hotline. So with all of that being said, have you seen like any like, I don't know if you noticed or not, but any drop off as far as like student enrollment so far with everything that's going on?
You know, it's a great freshman class enrollment here at the University of Georgia. Everybody's just anxious to get back in the new environment, but I think everybody's just tired of being at home, tired of being around the same people. So we're going to have to get back to the new normal with certainly a lot of protocols in place, and it's going to be a new way of life, especially during this bridge time to where we have to navigate from what we thought was normal to the new normal. You saw a lot of what went on during Memorial Day weekend, which wasn't really social distancing at its finest hour. But we know we only have one chance to get this right in college athletics. And football, we've got to get it right in June, because if we don't get it right in June, we have no chance of being ready in July. And July is really the most important month to where we can get back to, at some point in time, practice, not only for football, but our other sports, as fall sports, as they get ready for the season.
Greg McGarrity is the athletic director at UGA. Have you been in contact with the folks here in Atlanta about the Chick-fil-A? Because your first game is against Virginia on September the 7th at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in one of the Chick-fil-A games. There are three slated for them. Is that still all systems go at the moment?
Yes. I've talked to Gary. It's been a couple weeks since I spoke to Gary and then Carla Williams at Virginia. So we stayed in contact, not over the last couple of weeks, because we know time is on our side. And the more we learn, the more we become more educated on everything. And at some point in time, there'll have to be a clear definition of what mass gatherings means. So we don't have to make that decision now, but at some point in time, we have to get the green light on what can the attendance figures be, how do you do all this. And so a lot of information that has to be gathered, but it's just May, and we don't have to make those decisions right now.
Greg McGarrity joining us. You're right, we have 3 months, which is plenty of time here to see what we're going to have going forward with college football. But what do you envision, Greg? I mean, how do you think this all plays out? Gene Smith at Ohio State University is saying we're planning on 22,000 fans, doing some kind of a lottery or something based on that, and that's what we're thinking about for our opening game. Is that something you could see happening, actually having fans at the opener?
Well, we're not going to do what Ohio State did, because can you imagine the number of phone calls Gene got the next day? Am I in? Am I out? You know. So once we have clear information, we'll get that information out at one time when it's really the final decision. Because one thing we don't want to do is create angst and worry and concern about am I going to be in that group? You know, we're planning for a full house. Now, is that realistic? Time will tell. But at least we're planning that way, and we can always back off of that. But we've got several internal documents ready to activate. But certainly we don't want to go public with anything, especially in May. I mean, our first home game's in September.
Right.
So we don't want to rush through anything. At the same time, we want to be respectful to everyone. But we want to provide accurate information at one time so there's no misinformation there.
Now, I know that the NFL has been discussing, you know, whether or not they're going to use a special kind of face mask. I don't know if you guys are in the process of looking into something like that as well. Has that been discussed?
Hugh, I can only imagine what's going through our coaches' mind and our equipment staff's mind, okay? Mm-hmm. They probably have so many ideas coming up that I'm not even aware of, because I think, like, college sports follows the pro sports in so many things. And I think anytime you see technology that emerges, you know, it won't be too far behind colleges adopting whatever they do. So we're keeping a close eye on the NFL in all areas as far as stadium management, how they conduct preseason practice, how they conduct their games. So we are definitely paying close attention to the NFL.
Greg McGarrity, athletic director at University of Georgia with John and you. Well, Greg, tell me about, let's talk a little football. We got another minute or two. Tell me about what your expectations are for this team this year. Jamie Newman at quarterback. You got Zeus back there at running back. You've got a team that certainly knows how to win in what's going to be an extremely competitive SEC again. So what are your expectations?
Well, you don't know. You had no evaluation period in the spring. So, you know, a new offensive coordinator, a new quarterback, virtually a whole new offensive line. So many unknowns defensively. I think there's more stability there, but a lot of unknown. Rodrigo's gone. You know, Rod seemed like he was here for 10 years and did a great job for us. And so there's just so many unknowns that I think is going to probably be the most intriguing preseason practice we've ever had, because there's just so many unknowns, and very rarely have we entered a season not knowing who our starting quarterback is, or a quarterback that hadn't taken a snap yet for Georgia.
Yeah, especially when your third game is on the road at Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, it's we jump in the fire quickly, and we know how Virginia ended their season, and so you know there's one game at a time, and we just want to get to that first game. I think if everybody knew the first game is going to kick off as scheduled, and you know, with a great crowd, I think everybody can breathe a little bit better.
So, how do you feel about Georgia's chances this year? Looking good?
I think we're going undefeated every year in every sport. Okay,
You're supposed to.
You're the AD.
Well, you know, otherwise, and my coaches are going to look like I've got three eyes or something. So, you know, I'm very confident in all our 15 coaches that we have, and football certainly sets the tone in the fall, and we expect Kirby and his staff to be as competitive as they have in the past, and that's all we can ask at the University of Georgia, to be in the hunt. If you're in the hunt, you have a chance, and that's all we ask of all our coaches, be in the hunt.
That is Greg McGarrity joining our morning show. The athletic director, Mike, at the University of Georgia, seems positive. Again, you know, he said they've got some time, but seems pretty positive as to, you know, where things are right now with his programs.
Well, as he said, I know that we, and guilty as charged, we're always looking for, as I said today on Twitter, you know, where are we going? When are we going to get there? What's the timeline? And there's still way too many questions to be answered because of the varying degrees of how COVID-19 is affecting different parts of football country, from the Southeast to the Midwest to the Pacific, you know. So all that's got to get worked out. I know that I tweeted what Dennis Dodd was talking about how maybe pushing things back, and maybe even with college, there'll be some things which arise. And as I think, if you listen to what Greg McGarrity said, the last thing you want to do is, hey guys, you're doing this, check that, we're doing this, you know what I mean? And you've got to have all your ducks in a row, have the plan, and then be ready to go. And obviously they're going to, as we talked about last week, all the kids coming in are going to be tested. How often is that going to happen? Are you going to quarantine players from older family members? All those other concerns. So there's so many moving parts as we move forward. Meanwhile, I guess, one thing for sure, Carl, pandemic or not, recruiting doesn't end. There was a story today that UGA apparently is going to get an outside linebacker named Chaz Chambliss. He's a four-star linebacker, and apparently he is going to be coming to play for the Dogs, and that's got a lot of Dog fans that follow this stuff super excited. From Carrollton High School.
Well, and Kirby and his staff, they continue to do a great job of, you know, being relevant during this time of coronavirus and this pandemic, because it's hard. I'll be honest. The biggest thing that I remember, and I think if you talk to anybody that had a chance to go visit campuses for recruiting visits, it was the coolest thing. And to now know, can't do that. It's all virtual. So, Mike, you've got kids committing, literally saying, show me that room again.
Right.
Can I see the weight room again? And they're literally doing these videos, you know, and right. you're like, okay, well, yeah, coach, I really like it. And you've not really seen it. So it's incredible to say what they're doing to be able to convince these kids that this is the right place for you.
Right. As we said, we joke around about, let me see that ultra lounge that you got in the end zone where my parents can hang out with other. No, again, they've talked about how much money has gone into like the recruiting. And I get it. You know, when you see, and this is another thing, too. You know, when you see other schools, and I think the most recent one is, I thought I saw it today on social media, that Appalachian State was going to drop men's soccer. They've got a soccer team that goes back to the late 60s. Talked about Furman's going to have to drop men's, you know, baseball. So you've got, you know, all the big schools do reap the benefits, but we've got to get some fannies in the seats. We've got to get football on TV at some point, just for the mechanical, you know, I mean, yeah. I should say the mechanics of how football works, because it drives, it's the engine, I guess I should say, that drives all the other sports and for all the other schools.
It is, and I think that's, you know, I'm going to use the word motivated, and it sounds a little bit unfair because it's like they don't care. It sounds a little cruel and callous. I'm not looking at it that way. I think they understand where they're at and how important it is. Well, how important is it to Georgia to get sports back? Right. We're going to find out with the governor. Brian Kemp joins us next on Sports Radio 92. Check that. He's coming up at 4 o'clock. We've got Guy Talk next. Mike, what's coming up?
Yeah, man, I was a stranger in a strange land. I was up there in Carolina, in Panther Country. We'll get you into some of that. And a race car driver using a gamer to race cars on a video game, we'll explain.
It's time for fun. It's time for guy talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
It is back to work on a Tuesday, Carl, when it feels like a Monday, I got to be honest with you. And, yeah, I kind of like these European hours, man, like the 4 days a week. thanks again to Willie P. And thanks to Nick Kale for filling in, did a nice job. And we'll be, again, taking some vacay a little bit later this summer. It just got nowhere to go. As Carl and I were talking about it off the air, I'm going to have this exciting trip of just, like, driving to my in-laws, I guess. But anyway, we'll talk more about that when we get to it. Speaking of road trips... Guy Talk brought to you by our buddies at the Dukes and Bell and Coney Brewing and Hey Man Ale. Thanks to everybody at Hey Man. I should say to Coney for getting all the Hey Man out there, as a lot of guys were taking photos as the folks at Georgia Crown got our beer delivered to the package stores and supermarkets. So, Carl, I was like smoking the bandit. I brought two cases up to Carolina this weekend.
Yeah, man. I told you, we went to the package store, Bullock's over here by where we are in Cobb, grabbed a couple of six packs to take on the boat with us while we were out. So I'm with you. Did they enjoy Hey Man, though?
Yeah, man, we were throwing it down. It was great. My buddy Tommy, my best friend since second grade, he drove down from Ohio. And it's funny, we call it like the 6 degrees of Mike and Becky shenanigans. Like, we introduce our friends to my other friends, and then we all hang out together. So we had a great time up, thanks to my buddy Dustin and Tanisha for being the gracious host. So real quick, I'll get to the chase on this one, cut to the chase. We're at this party, and there's a couple of couples that are there, including some of their friends. So we're hanging out, and we're smoking cigars. We're drinking Hey Man and having a good time. And there's this guy named Scott. And he's a big sports memorabilia collector. I'm partying like north of like where the racetrack is in Charlotte and up
okay,
that way.
Okay.
And so we're having a good old time. And you know, the guy says, "Hey, you do sports talk radio?" I go, "Yeah, you live in Atlanta." He goes, "Well, what do you think of Mike Vick?" Which is a loaded question, right? You can go two ways with that. You don't know how you can answer. So I gave my standard answer. I said it was electrifying, but unfortunately, at the end of the day, still unsatisfying. I said, you know, we loved him. You know, it was amazing when it started off, and I was a fan. I had the jersey. I just hate the way it ended. Well, anyway, a little bit later, I don't realize he tells his daughter to make a run back to their house on the other side of town. Comes back to the pool, hands me a 2004 Falcons autographed football.
Wow.
I'm like...
Wow. With Vic's signature on it?
Vic's signature. As a matter of fact, I got the certificate of,
authentication.
Authenticity, as you like to say. Yeah, I mean, there's some of my favorite players. Now, again, it didn't end well under Mora, but 2004 was a pretty kick-ass year until we ran into a Hughes Eagles team, right? But Mike Vick, Rod Coleman, D. Hall, Keith Brooking, Patrick Kearney's on that. You know what I mean? So Algie Crumpler, some of my favorite dudes. Yeah, I could have done without Peerless Price and Michael Jenkins, but beggars can't be choosers, Carl.
Yeah.
But no, so I sit there, and so he's like, and yes, we're partying, we're having a good time. He's a little overserved. And I go, "Look, I can't take this. Come on, man. It's you know, it's a nice football. I want you to have it. You're a Falcon fan. My wife wants this stuff out of my house. You take that football." And I'm like, no, dude. So you know what? I literally had to make a whole show. I had to get witnesses. Let me deny this gift three times. So I said, "Look, let the record reflect. I'm not trying to take advantage of a guy who's had too much of our Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale, 5% alcohol by volume, and I don't want to steal this football off you." He insisted. So I go up to Carolina, and I come back with a Falcon football with Mike Vick's signature on it. How cool is that?
That is cool, man, and completely unexpected. So, right. You know, and here's the thing, too. I want to say this about memorabilia, because I had to learn this. Like, you know, people go, "Well, why would somebody pay?" And this was a great gift, by the way. I mean, that's a freebie. But why would somebody pay for something like that? And the thing is, it's your team. When you add Tom Brady's signature onto something New England, people want it more because that's their team. And whether he's there or not, whether Mike Vick is here or not, or whether Mike Vick goes into the Hall of Fame, or Mike, he's in the atop of the stadium being honored, it's our team. And so when it's your team, it's a cool item. And also, like you just told that story, that's a cool starter, man, to get a conversation going at the house where some people come by and they go, "What's up with this football?" I've said this. Every piece of memorabilia that I have, there's a story behind it, because I didn't want to just buy stuff to have it. So I've actually tried to have stuff that I could tell you a story about every piece and every item if you ask me about it. That way it means a little bit more.
Right. I'm like your brother. First off, I'm in a condo. I ain't got the space. And so I've got a few things. I've got a Dion helmet. I got a Lawrence Taylor helmet.
And a fake Merino.
I got a Merino, which may or may not have been signed by the Dolphins equipment manager. I spent $900 for it at a silent auction to impress some strippers from Denver at the Super Bowl. But, yeah, man, I don't have all that. And that's another, by the way, while we keep it Dukes and Bell, keep it real. I also drunk dial Carl because I was spending the night at my buddy Dustin and Tanisha's house. And I call Carl. I'm getting the house. I'm coming to your neighborhood. I'm going to have a pool and a dog. Because I rolled up to my buddy's house, and they got a nice place out in the country. And the dogs, and they got great dogs. And you know me, I love the cat, but I was a dog lover first and foremost. So immediately, what do? You know, again, Carl, I get a few cocktails in me. Let me go out of the Keller Williams and find a house.
Keller Williams.
Next thing you know, I got like five realtors calling me up. And I'm like, so no, in all seriousness, we found a place, and it was so hot that somebody put a contract out on it on Saturday. So I didn't get a chance. Never got a chance. Over by like where Sager used to live, over at Indian Hills. So I'm like, damn it. So yeah, my wife and I were enjoying country living for albeit 72 hours during Memorial Day. Speaking of being up near the lake or in the mountains, needless to say, Carl, this one was going to be water cooler from the jump. Images of jam-packed pool party at a Lake of the Ozarks bar and resort in Missouri over Memorial Day weekend. Needless to say, those that would prompt outrage, it got outrage. It got shame. The media has immediately said, Carl, that everybody at this pool party apparently is going to get COVID-19. Either way, it looked bananas because, as we said, going to Savannah last week, when you're so conditioned to not seeing people, and it was like any other like Memorial Day free-for-all out there at the lake.
Yeah, I didn't know what to think. Again, you see this stuff now, you're like, that's fake. There's no way that many people are out there right now. And then you see it on the news and other places, and you're like, man, I don't know, Mike. You're right. There was a spectrum of reaction to this thing. Mm-hmm. Here's my only thing, and I will say this, because I can't be mad because I don't know what the future is. I'm not predicting that, right? I don't think anybody can.
Right.
But I will be highly upset if these kinds of individuals hold us back from a football season, okay? That's the only time. I won't be mad now, but I'm going to be mad if there is another round of this crap, and it's because people were careless in their social distancing when they didn't have to be, and we don't get football. That's when I'm going to be really, really upset.
Because St. Louis has had their issues with COVID, and as is Kansas City. And needless to say, the local health directors are saying everybody that was out there in the free-for-all should self-quarantine. You know, obviously being called reckless behavior and completely going flying in the face of everything we're doing. Well, as we said, there's a lot of people out there saying, look, you can't leave your house. There was a video up in New York of people shaming a woman to put a mask on. They chased her out of a supermarket. So, you know, I mean, the reaction, as I said, I think we all want to be safe without, as you and I always say, without hurting or injuring or risking the lives of other people. One thing that you may not have heard is, according to a few people that were at the bash, including the man who owns the bar, guest temperatures were checked. They were using hand sanitizer. But when you see that, the immediate visceral reaction, of course, on the internet was, look at these idiots, look at these hillbillies, shame, shame, shame. Well, let's see. Well, are they going to quarantine? I would imagine, Carl, if you're about asshole, hit that, Jahee. If you are blank tail to elbow in a bar, you are not going to be using hand sanitizer.
No, you're not.
Did you get that? Jahee, did you catch that?
I hope he did. And these people are not going to quarantine.
And by the way, I'm not even drinking today because we're detoxing, but I used a word that you can't use on the air to explain how packed it was inside the bar. If you haven't already seen the video by now, everybody's seen it.
Yeah, everybody. You know what it reminded me of? And I said this to my wife. We were laughing. It reminded me of being at a Vegas pool party in like mid-2000s.
Right, like a rehab at the Hard Rock.
Because when those things started popping off, and it was like, oh, yeah, man, this is the thing to do. And the day parties turned into night parties turned into day parties. That's what it would be like. And it was crazy.
But and the sheriff is saying, like, look, he goes, it was a record weekend at Lake of the Ozarks. Everybody who had been hunkering down was going to go bananas. Obviously, public health violations are up to health authorities. And they said, unfortunately, here's the rub. How do you wrap up this conversation? You want people and you expect people to be personally responsible.
That's
right.
But
you cannot depend on people to do the right thing. Let's be honest, in this day and age. So either way, that was bad optics, and the folks up there now are being shamed by everybody on social media, and all hell's breaking loose. Hey, one of the things that has been a success, other than NASCAR, and NASCAR had a race on the weekend. Carl, even when we don't have a pandemic, you couldn't give me tickets to watch 600 miles or 400 laps at Charlotte Motor Speedway, but Brad Keselowski did win the race on Sunday. They had some weather issues. Meanwhile, over in Europe, the e-racing has been big. You've got Formula One drivers and other guys. They've also got guys from the Formula E, of course, which is the electric cars. A guy named Daniel Abt has been suspended, Carl, from the Audi Formula E team after it came to light he was cheating in a charity esports virtual event over the weekend. He was disqualified and ordered to pay $10,000. It turns out he was using a professional gamer to race in his place. And this guy was so good that other drivers realized, wait a minute, something's up. This guy's not that good. And so they dropped the dime and ratted him out, and he was guilty of it.
Wow. So cheating on esports.
Cheating on esports. He did not drive his car and qualified in the race. The guy's name is Daniel Abt, but he let a professional sim racer do the job in a statement that Audi got to have to release. Wow. He directly apologized for this. So again, I mean, that's just plain lazy. You're a professional race car driver. All these young guys, all they do is the simulations, like Charles Leclerc from Ferrari, and he actually had a racing sim driver racing for him. Shame, shame.
Shame, shame. You said it, Mike. I just want to end on this. It's Sky Talk, guys, here on Dukes and Bell. More coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Personal responsibility. You don't owe me. You owe yourself. And when you do activities and things that could put yourself in danger of not being where you want to be come 2-3 months from now, the wanting it now, Mike, I just hope it doesn't cost us later. And if it doesn't, great. But if it does, this is things that we'll be talking about. Hey, we're going to talk to the governor. Brian Kemp's going to join us next on Dukes and Bell.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.